welcome to a Tuesday morning in the great city of Flowery Branch. We're at Falcons training camp. We've got the fastest 2 hours in radio. My name is Steak Shapiro. Sitting alongside me, Abe Gordon. Good morning to you, sir.
How we doing, Steak?
I've had better starts to my day. You know, I'm a man of a routine, right?
So what broke down today?
I got my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I got my pen. That's important.
Okay.
Don't have my show sheet because we ran out of them, and Sandra usually takes care of that for me, so I need her for that. So I was on the phone with the wife. It's first day of high school for the little man, so we're dealing with that. And I go by, get my Dunkin', I don't go drive through, and I pull up here. Not only is there no parking, but I get out, and I'm parked in the wrong spot, and there's no briefcase. There's no computer. There's no laptop. There's nothing. I left it back at the Dunkin', okay? So I had that moment of panic of, like, where's all my stuff, right? Then I get back in the car. Now I'm jonesing because I'm going to be, you know, too tight for the show. We didn't get to do our pre-show meeting. I find it sitting on a table at Dunkin' Donuts, and I just say, you're an idiot. What's the matter with you? And then I got to regroup, and I go pay for parking because there's no parking left. So now I'm out $10. I walk over here, and just, it's just not the way. It's you know, it's a mental thing. You want to start your day fresh. So can we just, can we clear the slate? Can we mentally do something?
Well, mine's clear. I had a great morning so far. So
you didn't have a great morning if the guy you're working with, the name on the moniker says the steakhouse.
Yeah, but steak.
So
you can't let everyone else in life bring you down.
Right.
I got to live on my own life here.
But I'm the point person on my show. This is my
show. Well, then it's up to me to bring you up, not for you to bring me down.
Maybe Bo can restart us or something, but you're right. I mean, I got to bounce back. Like, that wasn't part of the routine.
Well, we're already 5 minutes in, so you only got an hour 55 left.
You better gear up.
As
an old radio programmer, I would say, why did you just burden the audience with that as opposed to getting the content? Get to the content, right?
I think what you're doing is you're setting them up to understand that you can have a bad morning and still produce greatness.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm setting himself up for a mediocre show, which is something I can do. How was the birthday yesterday?
Birthday was relatively quiet, pseudo non-existent.
Are you happy with where you're? How old are you?
I just turned 40. Big 40.
Yesterday was 40?
40, yeah.
Dude, I should like buy you a steak at Hal's or something. That's a big day.
It was. I didn't treat it like it was much different from any other birthday.
Were you surprised the amount of folks that reached out to you? Were you touched? Were you disappointed? Do you take stock of your life?
No,
of anything. I mean, like, give me a mindset of turning 40 years old.
This is going to sound somewhat cruel, and this isn't like 40th birthday based versus any other birthday. If you're really friends with a person, like, posting on Facebook is not a real happy birthday.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, you text the person.
I would agree with that.
You got to text the person.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and so
I don't even do the perfunctory after the fact, and I've been around longer than you. I have a lot of Facebook friends that all wish me a happy birthday in July. But then, you know, you supposed to do the post 2 days later. So touched and moved by all the people that reached out. I'm so grateful.
I don't do that. I respond individually to everyone.
So were you touched by the folks that reached out? I didn't say Facebook in any capacity.
I know, but I'm just putting it out there.
I agree
with that. There's so many people who just,
they think, oh, yeah, I wish you a happy birthday on Facebook.
Yeah, that's not real.
HBD exclamation, and then they give you the emoji that you just put up anyway. You'd have to do any work,
right? I'm just saying, if you truly see it's someone's birthday on Facebook, be a real friend and whip out the phone and send them a text.
If you are a real friend, then you do that.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
But how do you take stock? Are you in a good place? You look like you're in good shape. Best shape you've been in a while or not?
Yeah, close to it. We'll find
out.
Feel
like a girlfriend is looming?
I don't know about that.
I just feel it.
The dating apps have gone, poorly. They've gone poorly. They haven't gone at all.
You have a lot to offer. Single guy, in shape. Very organized. I love your show sheet. You strike me as a future corporate type, in the media, something along those lines.
Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I should put one of these rundowns on my dating profile and see if that clicks.
Shows that you have your life in order, right?
I think so.
You don't strike me as a guy that gets off kilter too often, like when you wake up the next day and go, why did I do that? That probably doesn't happen, right?
I don't look backwards, Steak.
We're moving forwards.
Yeah.
So in that note, moving forward is the first day of Abe's 41st year. On that note, why don't we do a 9 at 9? Well, I'll tell you this, most crowded I've seen Falcons camp today, with the tight end in town, first of two joint practices, and a lot of folks coming in. I told you the parking lot was sold out or just no spaces left. This is kind of the best chance you have to assess some of your talent. Would you agree with that?
Well, look, this is a situation where they have told you in recent years and again this year that they view joint practices, they being the team and head coach and GM, they view them as more significant than preseason reps. And so as you see people walking up the hill getting their spot, this is what you're here for. You're going to see your good on their good. You're not going to see it on Friday in the preseason game. You're not going to see it next Friday in the third preseason game. You're going to see it today. And you're going to see it tomorrow. If there were any 2 days to come out to training camp,
yeah, I agree.
It's today and tomorrow. The team has told you as such.
Yeah, I mean, Raheem is very stubborn about that policy and not playing his starters for the most part in the preseason. So today will be a chance for certain young guys to show out, for certain guys that are trying to build chemistry, i.e. Drake London, Michael Penix Jr., Kyle Pitts, insert offensive personnel, as well as some guys to show up on defense. Obviously, rules in terms of taking guys down is not exactly what happens, but close enough. And quarterback still very protected in this scenario. And if they're not, expect there to be some scuffles along the
way.
There
will be scuffles anyways, right? I'm just trying to figure out what the number is. Is it
the over-under
one and a half? Is it 2.5?
So I would bet under 2.5, but that's the right number. Maybe two scuffles.
Yeah,
right?
I think you're at 2. That's why I don't know where the number is at.
By the way, Titans, pretty much conventional wisdom, one of the 4 or 5 worst teams in the NFL is how they are graded out in terms of talent. Take that for what it is. You want to talk about a team that's struggling with talent, New York Mets. 1-10 in their last 11, is that right? Braves are opening a series here. Spencer Strider versus Clay Holmes.
Yeah, and look, it's a weird situation for the Braves, but an opportunity to play spoiler. In recent years, you've been able to be spoiled. A little bit different this year, but they're coming off a red hot series against the Marlins. It'll be interesting to see. It always, I mean. Let me ask you, Steak, does this series feel less than?
Yes, 100%.
Because of where the Braves are? Do you still get ramped up at all?
No, not
at all.
16 games under 500 is one team. The other team is 1-10 in their last 11 and kind of in absolute free fall mode. You know, at least we got Strider going, so that makes it feel a little bit more front line.
Now, the Mets are still in playoff position right now.
But, yes, it's definitely lost its juice when you think about an August matchup with your division rival. But that's fine. You know, we're still watching Braves baseball and hoping Drake Baldwin puts some numbers in Rookie of the Year. And
yep.
Spencer Strider gets his mind right and everything that comes along with that. A couple of other notes. AP poll released. Georgia opens the season ranked 5th.
Yeah, they were ranked 4th in the coaches poll, ranked 5th here. It'll be interesting to see. Again, take preseason polls for whatever you want. If you want to overreact to it, fine. Georgia's going to have their opportunity to prove whether they're 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st, 10th, 12th, unranked on the field. So I'm not going to overreact.
Yeah, you know, I like listening to Turtle at night, right? But I'm just going to say, and I'm not taking shots, when Turtle goes to break and he says, I've seen where Georgia's ranked and I'm not happy about it, you know, I'm concerned. That I think that's safe to say a radio tease that he doesn't. Nobody who really roots for Georgia is concerned because it means absolutely nothing. When you have road games with Tennessee and Auburn, when you get Florida at the largest outdoor cocktail party, when you host Kentucky, Texas, Alabama, and Ole Miss, I think it will take care of itself. And what the preseason rankings mean absolutely nothing, especially when you have a bunch of 5-star recruits, an unbelievable wide receiver core, an offensive line of NFL players. Georgia has every chance to be back to where they, you know, belong, which is in the playoffs and 1 or 2 wins away from a national
title. But I think ultimately you look at some of the teams ranked ahead of them and you ask yourself, is it fair to have questions about Georgia? Some of these teams don't have the questions. Clemson, you look at them, I don't know if they have the questions. That doesn't mean they're better than Georgia, but you know what you're getting at quarterback. You know what you're getting at defense. You know what they have in the offensive line. You know what you have at receiver. It's understandable and makes sense. Same thing for Penn State with their quarterback and their two running backs and some of the players on the defensive side of the ball. Ohio State does have the question. That's why, in my opinion, you saw them dropped a little bit off of the AP poll.
Texas, first number one team of all time, an underdog in their first game of the year, if you pay attention to the gambling things such as that. They are a slight underdog on the road in Columbus, Labor Day weekend, 12 noon, Fox. A couple of other quick notes. Matthew Stafford, not totally shocked, was expected to participate in practice. He's not ready to go yet, so hello, Jimmy Garoppolo and
Stetson
Bennett.
Stetson's in that fight right now.
What do you make of the four quarters they let him play the other day?
I thought he looked good, but
what are they trying to say by giving him four quarters? That he's still
they're not going to risk Stetson, or they're not going to risk Jimmy G.
Yes,
exactly. While Stafford's out. Yeah, Stetson's not the backup right now.
No,
I don't know if there's a world in which
you
can play himself.
Exactly right. They're not going to risk Garoppolo.
But there is a world in which, for whatever reason, Stafford starts the year out. And then Stetson is a primary backup. I think that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, a couple of other quick notes. Dropping last night, Taylor Swift. I don't know if she's ever done a podcast or certainly been a long time.
First one since 2023, I saw.
Sitting and with the monster podcast that is New Heights. Shout out to my sister-in-law, Kate Zimmer, who listens every morning to us and to the Kelseys. She loves them. And a sexy night at Chastain Park. Teddy swims in town two nights.
Did you lose control?
No, but we'll see what happens tonight. I got tickets, taking my wife. It's her favorite artist. Chastain, a beautiful setting. It's going to be a vibe tonight for sure. So Atlanta can enjoy that as well. Just one of the things happening in town. So I feel like that's a good 9 at 9. I feel like we've covered what we're supposed to. Something happened last night, though. This is why I have to trust my instincts, okay? I have to trust my taste. I know you're a movie guy.
Yeah.
I know you're a TV guy. I know you're a content guy. I watched something last night that I had heard. Yeah, it's pretty good. Nothing special. Oh, no. Oh, no. I've got your next show. There's not one person listening that will not love what I watched last night. Not one. I will be 100 for 100. Tell you what it is when we come back. Live at Falcons, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. We got a show called The Steakhouse. They give me 2 hours. I come in, I do my little shtick. You never know who's going to be sitting next to me. Former captains of Alabama football, guys like Mike Johnson. Sometimes it's All-American college players like Drew Butler. Then there's the celebrity that is Rusty Manziel. There's the queen of Atlanta radio, Sandra. And then there's Abe. Sitting.
That sounded like a level drop. What happened there?
Then there's Aiden. No, listen. Listen. This guy, he is a worker. You are a worker. How much sleep do you get?
Not enough.
What do you get? Say, I'm going to say you do 5 hours?
Yeah, on a tougher night, it's probably five. The problem is I was in bed early yesterday. No Braves game. Like, yeah. I was in bed at like 9.
But like, why did you stay up all night a month ago for the QB1, for the quarterback show?
Oh, that's part of the job, Steak.
Well, you needed to watch every episode before anybody else? Were you just trying to flex?
No, I think it's responsible producing, yeah. Knowing that most of the hosts aren't going to do it.
Right.
And I knocked it out. And the morning shift was – they found some of my comments very valuable in the moment. They didn't have an opportunity to watch it. They're going off of what I tweeted.
How about Randy and Andy? How did they feel about it?
I'm not sure Randy and Andy value my opinion.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I think there was value to watching it, if we're going to be honest.
Have you worked with every personality at the radio station? Have you spent time,
I think,
work,
so.
Produced? Do you have in your head the easiest to work with and the most difficult in your mind? Now, you don't have to share it, but do you have like a – is there a notion?
Yeah, I don't think there's any – there are definitely easier, but I don't think anyone is like difficult. Yeah, like
– I've been at radio stations. You know, I've been doing this a little bit for a little bit. So I've worked with every personality in the market and then some.
I've known people not in this market who my thought would be it's going to be real tough to work with this person on a daily basis. I don't think there's anyone like that here at 92.9.
I've been to stations like that. It's not the case here.
Yeah.
Mike Conti is just sets a tone. You know what I'm saying? It's a pleasant, easy place. You've done every job in the book, right? What's your favorite thing to do? If I said to Abe, you know, is it the Life of Abe? 3 hours every day? Is it talking NFL football? Is it movie reviews? What does Abe like to do? What gets him excited?
I just like talking sports, man.
Like talking sports, man.
I think like there's obviously a number of sports we don't cover at 92.9 that I really enjoy.
UFC.
UFC is definitely one of them.
Wrestling.
Not as you know it, pro wrestling. I watch like Olympic wrestling.
Okay, yeah, that's not going to happen. What else?
I watch a ton of track and field.
Yeah,
I'm the only one. I'm the only one who watches it.
Yeah, that's a given.
At that level, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to close down a radio station, just get on there and give.
I'm aware. I don't talk.
What else? Is that the three that you know? One of the golf, tennis, anything there?
I love tennis. I watch a lot of tennis.
Have you ever been to the U.S. Open in Flushing
Meadows? No, come on.
That is too bougie.
I don't think it's too bougie.
It's just not going to happen
for
you.
I'm not in a financial situation to A, take time off of work, or
B, procure
tickets, a hotel room, flight. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. You got to find a rich young lady, right? I mean, like I heard a girlfriend who years ago said her dad told her you can fall a pound of gold and a pound of feathers weigh the same. You're better off with a pound of gold. Meaning you're going to fall in love with somebody, but I was going to make them rich, right? So I want you to think about that as you get back out on those apps. You know what I'm saying?
Well, somebody, my dating profile somebody is limited to Atlanta.
Whose daddy can take you to the U.S. Open. Say, Abe, the family were headed up to New York to Flushing Meadows. Would you you and Barbara like to come with us? We're going to be going to the U.S. Open. Barbara sounds like a 64-year-old
woman. You think I'm dating a girl named Barbara?
Hey, I walked Chastain the other day. You ever been over there, Chastain? Seen that whole scene on the weekend? Chastain Park.
I used to run there in the morning sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm walking with my sister-in-law, who I mentioned earlier, right? Kate. Yeah. Who, by the way, is single, beautiful girl. By the way, maybe if I do study your profile a little more, maybe that's an opportunity. But separate of that, and I said to her, "Have you watched the SEC show on Netflix any given Saturday?" She says, I love all the shows, sports shows, but, you know, I don't like to go backwards. I like to look ahead, and I'm thinking, like, all those shows are going backwards by virtue of what they are. They're showing a season, right? Well, let me just tell you something right now. I love my sister-in-law. I respect a lot of people's opinions, but there is absolutely zero reason to not watch that show. I did three of them last night, any given Saturday. And again, I'm very partial to, Manny's production, Omaha.
Omaha, yeah.
I'm very partial to NFL Films. I'm very partial to the old Ross Greenberg, HBO. Like, I'm a film guy. I'm a documentary. I can tell right away the crap that we talked about, that terrible doc that was about Brett Favre, lazy.
Oh, yeah, The Untold.
Yeah, Untold is just lazy filmmaking. There's nowhere near. It's like going to, like, a throwaway movie or going to watch somebody that's an Oscar-winning director, right? You can tell the difference. So I didn't have a huge expectation. That show is phenomenal. That show, in terms of storytelling, and it starts right out of the gate with the Florida story from last year, the access you get to Graham Mertz and DJ Lagway, which was fascinating.
I know we're all enthralled to see Graham Mertz.
Well, it was interesting because here's a guy that's trying to hold off a five-star recruit that had been much maligned at Wisconsin, that's trying to hold on to his gig, total access to him, who you knew the kid had no shot at keeping the job. My point, have you seen the show or not?
No. But I know how it went down at Florida.
That's not the point.
I know.
That's not the point, right? I'm trying to tell you that the show has incredible access. The Billy Napier story. And you know how bad they started last year?
I do.
Do you know what a disaster?
As a Florida fan, I do.
They asked Billy Napier, you know, there's $27 million out there right now of folks getting together, wants to buy out your contract. phenomenal first episode. So, you know, the premise is they really just now, Georgia didn't participate, Texas didn't participate,
yeah.
Alabama didn't participate. But let me tell you, watching Graham Mertz blow out his ACL and DJ Lagway get the gig, and then you're in the ACL surgery with Graham Mertz's mother and father, and they know he'll never play another play in college football, and how that story plays out, and what an unbelievable teammate he was to DJ Lagway, that he didn't leave the sideline the entire time, rooted him on. Then he gets drafted by the Houston Texans. Awesome moment. I know Sam Pittman well, known him for years. The story of him in Arkansas and getting ready for, you know, a big game against Tennessee. The Clark Lee, Diego Pavia story.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes of Vandy, Alabama, when they lose that game against Missouri in overtime the week before on a kick. Dude, this show was awesome. Shane Beamer and Lenore Sellers. I mean, like, this is as good as that Hard Knocks when they do the division. The AFC?
It was AFC North last year. Yeah.
Show's phenomenal. There's absolutely no reason not to watch it. It's great how they have a different big SEC game. You get access to all these programs who clearly, unlike Bama, Texas, and Georgia, want the pub, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They want it. And the story of Diego Pavia, who is an absolute, you know, made-for-television, that show, Any Given Saturday, I can't wait to get home and get through the rest of it. I did not expect that, dude. I have a high.
How many episodes is it?
I think it's 8.
Okay.
6 or 8.
And what are we looking at per episode? Are we in the 45 to 55 range?
56.
56?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I want you to tell me. Watch, we're working tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be cynical? Why do you make a face like you know more about
it?
Because
it sounds like you're going to give me a homework assignment that I'm absolutely not going
to
complete.
I'm not asking you to do it. I don't care if you watch it or not.
Okay. Because that's where you are headed.
Why do you sit up and watch every episode of Quarterback, but you're sticking your nose up at this show, Any Given Saturday, which is access to college football, which in a lot of ways has a lot cooler stuff going on in terms of storytelling? Like, you're sitting here scrolling away here.
Well, I'm just getting the updates on the Falcons.
I don't want the update. I want you to engage me as a co-host and not brush me off when I say this is a great show. You don't trust my taste?
I've been told by others not to watch it, that there's much value to
it. Right. So I'm telling you, I was told the same thing, and I'm smarter than they are. And I've been doing this longer, and it's a great show. So you tell me. I'm going to put it out there on social right now. It's a great show and a lot of fun. Have you watched it? All right. So tell me what you like about it, Gordo. Right?
Same thing you just said. I mean,
great storytelling.
It's much more interesting than the Quarterback show because there's actually events going on. There's storylines. There's plots. Like you said, you got the whole Lagway with Mertz. You got everything. Each individual episode tells a completely different story.
Yes. And then they lead up to big games. It's a great show. Thank you. Because this guy over here is knee-deep in his own.
Well, let me tell you where I stand, and it's not a college football Any Given Saturday versus the Quarterback series. It's all of these. It's Drive to Survive.
Yep.
It's Sprint. It's all of – I don't know. I'm not overly interested in looking back at the story behind the story because I know the outcome. And it doesn't – I'm so much more invested, for instance, in the in-season Hard Knocks where it's happening as these episodes get released. Like, I want to know what's going on behind the scenes as we're happening or relatively close
you
to
know,
when it's happening.
That's like people telling me I don't want to watch a war movie because I know what the ending is going to be, right? I don't want to watch Dunkirk because I think, well, they survive, you know, the Pottsville takeover or not. I mean, like, it's called great storytelling. It's called great storytelling. You know what I'm saying? My God.
What if I told you I didn't want to relive the Florida season last year?
Well,
or at least the start of it.
It's fascinating to watch a guy that knows his career is probably done and then blow out his ACL on top of it. Does that music mean we're going to break? All right. We'll come back. Are you getting some interesting stuff on the Falcons you can share?
Yeah.
Because I have lost your attention a little bit.
No, I've listened to everything you said, but I also
in
the back of my...
Are you pulling the Zinno on me?
No, I'm sitting here, Steak, listening to everything you're saying, but also knowing I'm not going to go home and watch this, so, like, just where are we at here?
Well, you should watch it. Second of all, just, you know, I want to have you engage. That's the word, engagement.
I'm
when we come back, what's going on at Falcons, we'll talk about that. Also, update on the college football poll that came out. I know you got some things to say there. And lots more live from Falcons-Titans scrimmage day right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. headed to Chastain tonight, one of the great music venues really in the country on the right night. And Teddy Swims tonight. You know what you do when Mama's girls have flown the coop? Both girls off to college. She's waking up next to me every day thinking there's got to be more than this in my life. Well, she's got her son, Bobby, but, you know, boys are different. They don't communicate as well. You go out and you get tickets to her favorite show. You plan a night out. You get a nice bottle of white wine. You sit out there at Chastain and you tell Mommy everything's going to be okay. You know what I mean? So that's what we're doing tonight, Abe. It's Steak Shapiro and Abe. We're live at Falcons, middle of a session with the Tennessee Titans today. So, you know, somewhere down the line, you may need that advice when you have to step up as a proper husband, as they would say. And that's part of what's happening tonight.
What time are we expecting him to go on? It says 8 o'clock here. Is there an opener?
Well, you know, you can only play so late at Chastain, right? Those some talk about some snooty neighbors.
What is that, 11?
I think
11.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Probably not going to have much of an opener. You been to many shows at Chastain?
No. I'm not really a big live music guy.
Okay. I'm trying to learn. Are you a music guy in general?
Yeah. I just don't always enjoy live music. Last concert I went to was Billy Joel Dodger Stadium.
How many years ago was that?
Probably 6 or 7.
You watched the Billy Joel documentary?
I don't have HBO. Slide me them login digits?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it.
I would love to.
Incredible documentary.
It's definitely better than any Saturday.
You want to?
Wow. Even you know that's true. That is true. It is fact.
5 hours of Billy Joel, all the blemishes and a fascinating life. So, Falcons and Titans, what did you think about yesterday coming back? Radio station had a bunch of guys on. I mean, you know, listen, I've done 30 of these, you know, same thing with Braves spring training and Hawks training camp, although really football and baseball are the ones where you really dive into the, you know, training camp or spring training or whatever,
right.
And you're trying to create storylines and you're trying to, you know, assess the schedule and how that's going to play out and what rookies are showing out. Very hard to get tangible you know, stuff coming out of these last few weeks. I guess on occasion it's a rookie that certainly moves up the depth chart. That can tell you something. Other occasions, obviously watching Michael Penix. That has been fun watching Michael Penix. Certainly when it's last week, you were at practice. No, you were here when it was ones-on-ones, Penix, when Drake London had the catch on A.J. Terrell and just watching up close, see how that thing was building. But otherwise, what's your take on in general? Like, I love you. How's camp? Been a great camp. Guys are focused. Guys are working hard. I love the energy. I heard that about Desmond Ridder. I heard that about Marcus Mariota. I heard that last year about Kirk Cousins. You know what quotes you hear? Guys are dialed in. Guys are ready. Like the energy. Like the focus. Guys, it's a different flavor, right? I've heard it all. Every cliche you could throw, I've heard it over the years. I've heard it when I've covered the Falcons going to Super Bowls. I covered both Super Bowl teams. I've heard it when the Falcons have gone 5-11. And the quotes out of training camp are usually pretty much the same.
Well, I find it funny because, you know, we get haters out there on the social media that are like, you guys are way too high on the Falcons. And to an extent, I understand that, but they're – like, the Falcons are not in a situation that the Saints are, where there's just no hope this year. You're definitely not winning. And that really hasn't been the case for a long time. Like, obviously the Falcons have underachieved and they haven't won at the level that they've needed to, blah, blah, blah. But we haven't gone into a year and be like, there's just no chance, no hope this year. Desmond Ridder is probably as close to being realistic, like, how good can this guy possibly be?
Right.
But even that, maybe you get surprised in the positive, but probably not and ultimately no.
I'm easy. Like, you know what they say about great salespeople? They're the easiest people to sell stuff to. So if I sit in front of Arthur Smith long enough and Terry Fontenot and they kept telling me.
They want to.
Like,
fans want to believe.
Yeah, that's what I am.
I'm a fan. As a fan, I want to believe,
I was like,
too.
Oh, yeah, Desmond Ridder did start a lot of games in college. Oh, yeah, you did take him, you know.
Hadn't lost the home game yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does have a versatility.
4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You know,
so,
there you make your arguments.
I mean, so that training camp I was all in. Last year's I was more than all in with Kirk Cousins. And this year, I would almost say I'm more cautious this year, Abe, just because of the last 3 years. Mariota, bill of goods. Desmond Ridder, bill of goods. Kirk Cousins, in a lot of ways, bill of goods because he wasn't totally healthy. And now you're telling me that Michael Penix, with three starts in his career, although I'm not worried about the offense as much, but like, I know nobody in football is paying any attention to the Falcons other than, like, oh, they got some nice players. They got Drake London. They got Bijan.
Right.
Michael Penix is a big name. Looks like they did okay in the draft with a couple of first-rounders from the SEC. But nobody – they're not in any conversation in the NFC.
No, but they weren't in a conversation until midseason last year. Then people are like, hey –
yeah, because they were 6-3.
I agree. But I think you get those first six games. If you come out of it – I think this is a really tall task considering the opponents, the location, timing of the bye. If you come out of your first 6 weeks at 4-2, people are talking. I'm not saying you will.
Listen,
because
of the
schedule.
Bijan Robinson could be one of the most talked about players in the NFL.
I think people are going to talk about Drake.
And Drake. Drake could he could be. Well, listen, both guys, dude. I mean,
yes.
Bijan. Yeah, those are superstars. But, I mean, superstars with a 2-4, 3-3 team is very different, like you said, than a 4-2 start. And if Michael Penix. Listen,
I'll be honest. If you're 3-3 after six games, I think people are like, now hold on. Let's look at who they've played, who they lost to. There's going to be some discussion even at 3-3.
All the equity in the Falcons has been on the offensive side of the ball in terms of these draft picks. Of course, their offense should be in great shape. They have a top-5 offensive line. They have a top-3 wide receiver. They have a top-3 running back. They have the best backup Ramy running back in the league in Algiers. They got, you know, Darnell Mooney is a really solid #2 if he's healthy. And yeah, of course they should be fine. But again, that's not the issue. The issue is the last time we saw him, Bryce Young, you know, went north of 40 points in a game you had to win. We are not that much different on defense, and you're asking rookies.
I think you are that much different on defense.
Because of who?
I think you're looking at –
because of two rookies?
Well, I think you've got at least four new starters, and maybe not all, I guess, in a rotation, but between the two rookies, between Floyd, between Divine Diablo – I think you're overhauling the defense at a pretty high level. I think you've also added Jeff Ulbrich, which is not just a personnel thing.
I like that more than anything. But I mean, you're counting on rookies. You're counting on rookies. And to me, when you add rookies and say, hey, we got new starters, and they've never played one.
But every team's counting on rookies. Like, I don't understand that discussion.
Other teams have had better defenses, and they're bringing back better defenses. We're bringing back a horrible defense. We're bringing back a defense that couldn't find and get to the quarterback, and we keep trying to fix it, right? We tried to fix it with Matthew Judon. Now we're trying to fix it with Leonard Floyd, or now we're finally trying to fix it with first-round picks on the defensive side. Listen, it could absolutely happen, and, you know, we need to be just a good defense, not a great one, and we could be a playoff team, and we could host a playoff game and all that, but you have to be a good defense, and there's a lot that has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to point to that final game against Carolina, understandably so. You took Jaden Daniels to overtime. Defense played relatively well in that one. These teams were not good, but before that, you held the Giants to 7 points. You held the Raiders to 9.
You're better than that.
I'm just saying.
I didn't know we were going to play radio.
Well, but Stake, you're playing here as if a 17-week season all came down to the defensive performance of 1 week game against Carolina was already gone.
No, it came down to the performance against the Minnesota Vikings when you got absolutely torched. It came down to the performance against the Broncos when you got absolutely torched. It came down to every big game and challenge you had on the road. You pretty much – now, Jaden Daniels, you played okay. You got the late touchdown, but you still weren't going to win that game. So, I just – listen, until we can bring the quarterback to the ground
– correct.
And start to create turnovers, and I've seen Falcon defenses do it, then offensively, yeah, we've got plenty of personnel to be as good as anybody.
But this is the first offseason which they've actually focused on.
Yeah, where they addressed
it. This is the first offseason that Terry Fontenot says, hey,
where they addressed
we're good on this side, this side being offense. We are going to go in and all in on our defense at multiple positions to try and get better.
Listen,
it's the first time they've done that. I'll give them benefit of the doubt.
I'm a total fan, and I can be convinced, and I could not be more excited for the opener against Tampa. But I'm just saying, I've been burned.
I think the hesitation's fair.
You ever have the girlfriend that you think everything's great and things are moving along and you put all your faith in, and then now she read your text and she's not responding? You know how that feels?
It's been a while, but sure.
Yeah, that's what it feels like the last few years with the Falcons. I put my emotions behind this young lady, thought we had a good thing. We had a couple of nice dates, right? I took her to Marcel.
Well,
you know.
I will say this. Last year, I get that. the Ritter year, some of that's on.
You're right, but
getting your hopes up for that season, if you bought in,
felt like a
partially
schmuck.
Is on you.
I feel like a schmuck. Is that what you're saying? Let's do a tailgate. You got something for us?
Sure.
This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
Well, you mentioned the AP poll comes out. Texas at number one, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia round out your top five. SEC teams ranked in the top 10, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. South Carolina's in there at 13. Florida is 15. Oklahoma and Texas A&M are 18 and 19. 21 is Ole Miss. Tennessee is 24. Once again, the SEC, to no one's surprise, leads preseason, of course.
Yeah, if you watch the show any given Saturday, you know a lot more about some of these stars. But, I mean, I guess your life's so full you don't need to. Lenora Sellers, obviously great stuff about him.
Let's go back to the show real quick, because I will say one more thing. I don't know if the show is made for someone, and I'm not trying to brag here, but, I mean, I was hosting College Football Game Time. I do have four TVs. Stake, not much is lost on me. I'm not missing the storylines of these teams coming
in. I'm telling you you're going to be surprised.
I'm already in it.
I don't expect you to be fascinated that DJ Lagaway won that job. I think you know what happened because you actually were alive to watch it. It's called storytelling. It's the same lame thing I hear from people that don't want to watch documentaries because they go, I know how that ends. Why would I watch that?
But I didn't miss the story.
When you talk about a war movie, I wasn't there for the war. Yes, you did. You missed the story of him in the hospital getting ACL surgery and a human condition of a guy going, I'll never play another down of college football in my life. And boy, this is the way it ended. Watching how he responded and treated his teammates, watching behind the scenes as, you know, a head coach tries to save his job. I mean, just stop it. Come on, you're better than this.
I think you're off on this. I'll be honest, Stake. I think you're way off on this. As a Florida fan, none of that surprises me. We knew about him coming back and helping Lagway. We certainly knew about the Billy Napier hot seat stuff.
Did we know
about... We also knew about how heartbreaking it was for him. He did a press conference talking about the end of his career.
Why'd you stay up all night to watch QB quarterback show when you knew what happened with Kirk Cousins? Why'd you stay up for 7 hours and get no sleep? I think you knew that Joe Burrow was not going to end up in the playoffs.
Well, first off,
you knew that.
None of the other stuff, the Joe Burrow, Jared Goff stuff, is irrelevant to our job. I watched Kirk Cousins because he was the Atlanta Falcons quarterback.
So that's why you spent 7 hours and didn't sleep?
I slept eventually.
Let's just keep going, please.
Alabama, who had yet to name a starting quarterback, has now done so. It is, as expected, going to be Ty Simpson. I don't know why they couldn't just announce this at SEC Media Days. Maybe they just wanted to avoid that question altogether. But he is going to be the starter, and they got to gear up. They got an opening game against Florida State. You think Florida State's back this year?
No. Okay. No. I think you can't be as bad as they were.
Now, they got a transfer quarterback in Thomas Castellanos. A little bit of running, a little bit of throwing.
Boston College?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, he's talking a lot of trash.
Bill O'Brien benched Thomas Castellanos.
I'm just telling you.
So there's nobody that knows more about Boston College football in the last 35 years. I grew up in Chestnut Hill. So Bill O'Brien benched Thomas Castellano, and the fact is that Boston College is not a college football juggernaut. So if you couldn't even play there, what's he talking smack about, that he's ready to emerge?
He's had some great games in his career. He's also made some horrible plays.
He's made a couple
of bonehead mistakes.
Sandra. If you're getting your quarterback, a backup from BC, do you know the way she talks about going to games at BC, that the tailgating's so bad she had to ask people where the stadium was? She always mocks me with that. Always. And then she finds out that they play high school football in Massachusetts on Saturdays. Do you know that? Do you know they play high school football on Saturdays in Massachusetts?
Never Fridays? Or, there's a couple
mostly
games?
Mostly Saturdays.
Because we had to play a couple Saturday games because we shared stadiums.
I just don't like how she condescends, because I'm from up there. I don't know anything about high school or college. It's just – even Rusty hasn't talked to me that way. But whatever. That's my own issue.
EJ Warner, son of Kurt Warner, transferred from Rice. He's just won a very competitive quarterback competition as Fresno State. So he's going to try and chase it down. They like to throw out.
Underrated color commentator. I think he does it for Westwood One.
Yes,
Kurt Warner
does
a great job.
He does.
Like him a lot. All right, is that the tailgate? Anything else we need to know?
You want some lawsuits going back to Boston? Baylor is suing BU, Boston University, over the interlocking logo. BU, by the way, was given the notice and just completely ignored it.
They
and kept selling
down.
Their. They kept selling their stuff. They're
and
like, whatever.
And they made it even more blatant.
And now Baylor, after a cease and desist, now Baylor's actually going to a full-on law.
I know it's Baylor because it's green. You know, I know it's BU.
So I always had that question about, like, the Georgia G and the Green Bay G. Right. It's this, it's
or
the,
Grambling.
Or Grambling. Yeah, they're all the same.
I've
different
seen guys with Grambling hats, and I'm thinking, oh, go Dogs. And it's like, no, you're wrong there, buddy. Hey, when we come back, any dad or mom that spent their summer traveling around to tournaments from Tennessee to Colorado to New Jersey, wait till you hear what Kirk Herbst. We're going to see what Abe thinks about all this, who's not necessarily a dad as far as we know. And we'll continue live from Falcons on Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A absolutely outstanding crowd rolling into Falcons right now. As many folks as I've seen at training camp, but why would you not? Titans are here. It's an inter-squad scrimmage going on. And a lot of Falcon fans coming in here. They got the garb. They got the Rise Up. They got the Mike Vick jerseys. They got whatever it is to show the love. Not as many kids with school back in session. Going to be a warm day, looks like, too, but still fairly pleasant compared to about a week and a half ago. We got a couple more days here. I'm with Abe Gordon. My name is Steak. Thanks so much for being a part of the Steakhouse. Listen on the Odyssey app. Watch us. We'll have reaction for you at all times and things happen. And I may even do a video this morning. I was told by, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with management. They want me to do a video. I know people want me to break down the roster. I know that. You know what I mean? I'm not just a guy that reviews cheeseburgers and just eats slices of pizza online to get, you know, clicks. I mean, I'm going to break down the corner, the nickel situation. I know what they need from me, and I'll do it. And follow us. What's your social that we need to know about?
It's at Abe Gordon there on the X/Twitter.
Nobody in America got Abe Gordon before you did, huh?
I wanted Abe, and it started out as an account owned by a Japanese fellow.
Oh, okay.
And then now the account at Abe, A-B-E, is owned by the logo for the Time Hop, the social media memory thing.
Okay. Okay.
Apparently, they're dinosaurs named Abe, and they have the at Abe account.
Well, I didn't have to battle for Steak Shapiro. That was pretty much wide open. So,
way to go.
Follow us on our social media as well. Saw this clip over the weekend. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit, listen, the legend of Kirk Herbstreit and the gravitas of that guy's career has been remarkable to watch, and having known him for years. I've told the story before. I know when they used to do Thursday Night Football, Abe, Herbstreit, Tirico, and Lee Corso used to do the games. Fowler did some of them. We used to have dinner because the Tech used to do the games every Thursday night. So on Wednesday night, we used to go to dinner with these guys because we were friendly with a guy named Rudy Martsky. You know Rudy Martsky?
I do.
Is?
Yeah.
So Rudy used to work for us at 790, and he would put these dinners together. So I've known him a long time. And listen, he's as big as there ever has been in the industry. And,
yeah.
You know. Listen, the stuff lately with the paranoia, with criticism, and the Florida State fan, the dog has to come to every event. All that being said, I think Kirk Herbstreit still a lot of times is a great representative of college football. And, you know, I thought this moment, there are a lot of dads, Abe, and you're not one yet, and I hope you get that opportunity. But moms and dads are traveling all over in the summertime. The specialization of sports, you got to travel to this tournament. You got to travel to this training. You know, you're dragging the family or splitting up the family and messing up the beach trip or whatever it is because so-and-so's got a chance at 12 years old to get really good and he has to keep playing in the offseason. I've been through it to a degree. My kids were never elite athletes, but I traveled in the summertime. I've talked about this with Rusty numerous times. What's the payoff? Why are you focusing your entire summer on 11-year-old baseball in Franklin, Tennessee and Orlando, Florida? Here's Herbstreit talking about being through some of that.
You had a green jersey and white pants. You had a blue one. You had a red. After the game, it was a race to the concession stand to get your treat and whatever it was. And then you hung out at the park, and you might go in the creek and might go over to the pool. And it was summer. It was fun. You know what I mean? And it's just like we're stealing that from kids and from families. Correct. Because what you're saying is, because I've lived this, I want to go down to 30A. I want to go down to Rosemary with my kids when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it's like, well, we got a tournament in Indiana, and you know, we got to do that one. Then we're going to go to Atlanta. I'm like, they're nine. Right. Like, why are we taking away family experiences to go to an effing tournament in Indiana for our 9-year-old?
404-726-0929. Love to hear from dads or moms or families that have had those conversations. I thought he laid it out pretty well. Why, if we have four kids, are we splitting us up? Or why are we all headed to Indiana? I'm sure it'll be fun. I love watching my kids play sports. They have nothing more fun than that. Bobby plays, you know, travel soccer, not at the highest level, but enough that I'm up at 6 a.m. and traveling next weekend to Fayette, I think it is, for a tournament or whatever, and I love doing it. But I think, again, how many days of summer do you have? How many memories, how many lake houses could you possibly get with all the travel that you're doing to schlep everybody all over the place, or flying to a tournament in Vegas, or folks in the Northeast? You know how well they all know Lake Point, Abe? They all know Lake Point because all those Northeast schools come through here. And I'm just going to tell you something about Lake Point. It's a great facility, but staying 55 minutes outside Atlanta in 95-degree heat in the dead of summer to stay at a motel, same as saying we're going to plan a summer vacation at a lake or Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire or Midwest, or go down to a beach in Panama City. And I don't know, that just kind of resonated with me. What is the end game? And you ever thought about what the end game sometimes?
I just find it fascinating that, because the ultimate goal in theory, if you believe your kid is good enough, is to get them a college scholarship and eventually a college scholarship, depending on the sport. Sometimes it might turn straight to the pros. If you're high school baseball, you can go straight to the pros, but college basketball, college football.
Let's assume that's 1%, half of 1%. So then 99% of the parents listening to us, a D1 scholarship is not what this is about, because they're not getting it.
So then what's the goal? And you said something earlier that I think was important. If it's a only child, it's a different discussion than if it's multiple kids, because I think you're taking away from that family in support of one child or at a time. You know, obviously, they might all be doing individual events. It leads towards a lot of problems. And again, I'm not a father. I don't have kids.
But you've been around these youth sports. You
of
know
course.
What the phenomenon
and,
is
and
right
I have,
now, right?
I have nephew and nieces that are now getting started in at this level. And it's just like, why are we doing this?
Right.
And especially now more than ever, if you're – again, let's go back to the 1%. If you're good enough, they'll find you. You don't have to
listen
be on the AAU team of choice.
And right,
if you're good enough, they'll find you.
Do you know how paranoid parents get, Abe? You just said it. The AAU team of choice.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of 12-year-olds, and whether we're playing out of East Cobb or playing out of Alpharetta or whatever it is, there's a fear that we're going to get passed by if we're not on that team, that you know, you're not getting the same specialized coaching, that we got to focus and dial in the summer. That's right. And by the way, you may lose a step. You may lose a little bit, you know. But – like what you just said, if you're that good, it will happen. It will. Like, listen to Frank Kaur or Smoltzy or her. Like, these guys are just like, dude, play a bunch of sports, have fun with your family.
How many football coaches do we hear now talking about multi-sport athlete gives you step up?
Right.
Don't specialize.
Do you know what Drake London looks like to me? Because basketball is my sport, and I coached it for years. Yeah,
a
problem. Because
it looks
like
a problem.
Because of his hand-eye, because the way he goes up and catches balls at his absolute peak, because of the athleticism. Now, again, those elite athletes. There are kids that are 10 years old that spending a whole summer playing baseball will get them a higher next fall in fall ball than they would have been. But, like, what are – like, I've sat 94-degree heat at a softball tournament in Franklin, Tennessee, and I just said to myself – when Buffalo Wild Wings in the horizon looks like it would be the highlight of my life right now, that's a problem. To get air conditioning.
The other thing, Steak, which has never made sense to me, and again, not a father, I understand that, so I'll accept whatever criticism parents do have, but you sat here and said, hey, my kid's playing soccer, but we know what level he's at. Parents know. Like you know if you
they
have something
know.
Special.
Right.
Something that could be developed.
Cultivated.
Look, our own Knox Bardeen has a daughter that is going to be on scholarship playing collegiate softball.
Is that Arkansas? Where?
Virginia Tech.
Oh, Virginia Tech, right.
Bo Johnson, our own Bo Johnson has a daughter that is incredibly talented but young. And they're playing with the middle school ball. They do a couple of things, but we don't have to ramp it up just yet. I think there's a time, probably 15, 16, when you're a little bit older where you know real chance or not. That's when you maybe all in on this. You don't need to be doing it at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Gordo is here as well. Have you been through it?
Yes, I have been through it. My son is currently – I mean, he's just graduated from Westlake High School. Most of his friends play from 10 on up. I took him out when he was about 12. It's a money pit. Same thing you were saying.
Yeah, that's part of it, too.
I looked and I basically said –
in terms of the travel
if
circuit.
If we just save the money, we'll have money for a scholarship. I mean,
right.
So that part. But – he has friends. Three out of that team, two are going to Alabama A&M on scholarship, and one is going to Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
So, do you look at it like that's the payoff they've been working for 7 years? Do you look at it?
Parent-wise, it is.
Yeah.
Parent-wise, it's definitely.
But how many others got close enough and there's no scholarship waiting? Or then the decision is, do you want to keep playing or do you want to maybe go to an SEC school or maybe get – you know, Kennesaw. Listen, you can go to Kennesaw State if you get the right GPA.
Well, and down the road, the question comes out as to whether it was all worth it to begin with, just for this scholarship. Like Kirk Herbstreit was suggesting, all of the fun times you could have had as a family lost, all of the enjoyment, the entertainment, the vacation, growing together, all of that stuff lost.
It's all geared
because you
around
can maybe
kid.
Walk on or ride the pine for an FCS.
By the way, you can
whatever.
Still do that and maybe not play ball. Yes, I think you cut it off the first week of June, and you say the rest of the summer, we're going no more tournaments. We'll play right up until a month after school ends, and then we're going to do summer as a family. Let's get some calls, though. BJ and Tequila. BJ, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, Stink.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, man, I'm so passionate about this topic. My son just started kindergarten, and he's been interested in some sports but it's been a huge topic of conversation. And my wife's been a teacher for over 15 years, and so she's seen the gambit of kids who've done sports, who've done all sorts of things. And I don't think people talk about this enough is there are like studies that have shown that these kids, when they are put into these situations, such high pressure situations, and every second of every day is pre-planned out for them, and the pressure of the winning and all of that, they burn out. I mean, the dropout rates and these kids will often quit sports, like, so they lose the joy of it. And I often come back to the LeBron podcast where they talked about this. Luca was on that one too, where like if the greatest of all time, arguably basketball player, is taking his kids out and giving them a break, like I think there's
well. I mean, again, thanks for the phone call. You know, he has the luxury of doing it. They're also elite athletes. I want to talk to John Parler, who works with us at 92.9 The Game. His kid is as high ranked a lacrosse player as there is in America, right? I mean, or right up there. They've won back to back state titles. He's the leading scorer right there. You got a thought on all this, my friend?
Yeah, it's what you guys are saying. It just starts too early. You know, and we were part of it. We fell victim to it of the 10-11, and our whole summer's up in the Northeast, and it doesn't even matter then. The coaches, college coaches, can't talk to you, don't look at you, don't care about you until you start to get to high school. So it's, if I could ever give anyone advice, it'd be like, enjoy those summers, do the family stuff. But right. Coaches and programs love to give you that fear of missing out of like, hey, your son needs to come play this, or your son needs to play on this national team or this travel team. It's like, you don't. Not at that young age, you don't. You know, if they're good enough, they'll be found. And I remember one of the coaches that we dealt with told us, if baseball scouts could find guys playing dirt ball in the Dominican Republic, they could find your kid in North Fulton, Atlanta. Like, is there going to be found if they're good enough? And it's true. So it's, you know, it's just a lot
of things. And the reason you got in the rat race, John, is because coaches absolutely want to win because it's fun to go to the Northeast and win, and they want your kid, and they have to convince you that, what do you mean you're not playing? What do you mean the family can't do this? This is, dude, he's going to start for you. He's going to play attack, and this is important, you know? I mean, we get these stupid video services and say we're going to talk to college coaches. My kid is no sooner playing college soccer than I'm going to be singing at Chastain tonight with Teddy Swims, right? But they're on me, man. They're convincing me that Bobby's going to be a Division IIIB superstar. Here's the videos of his games. It's all a mind game. Yeah. It's a mind F, you know? But by the way, your son won back-to-back state titles, and he's going to a great school to play lacrosse, right?
Three state titles, and they should win their fourth. And yeah, I mean, he's lucky enough to go play D1, but like you said, it's such a minor number that make it that far, and good for him. And we put in the effort, but we really didn't need to put it in when he was 11 and 12.
Great advice. And thanks for the call.
Every coach wants, you got it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, the other thing, just to close this out, being highly ranked, highly coached, whatever, at 9, 10, 11 has not much bearing on where you are at 14, 15, 16. Growth spurts.
100%.
There's a thousand things that change.
So my buddy Jeff Wolverton, who's a huge coach at NYO, always says, dude, until a kid hits puberty, you have absolutely no idea if he's going to have the size, speed, strength, any of those things. 10, 11. By the way, that's where a lot of these kids won't even get looked at. At like 15, you go, dude, what happened to him? This kid now is a baller, right? Goes the other way, too. You didn't waste all that time, and next thing you know, your kid becomes that. We'll take more calls on this. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Falcons and Titans are going right now. Abe's got an update on that. We come back. Lots more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for being with us. We're live at Falcons in Flowery Branch. Another training camp opportunity. And should be a lot of fun with the Titans and Falcons getting ready. Is this going live now?
Yeah, they have just started the one-on-ones here.
AJ Terrell
just blatted a ball right out of the hands of Calvin Ridley because he had that caught. Drake London won a matchup. Bijan Robinson won a matchup. A couple of Titans receivers won a matchup. And just a reminder, if you're happen to be on the Hill listening to us on the Odyssey app, or if you are watching somewhere or stuff you see later, receivers should win matchups against DBs, and D linemen should win matchups against the O line. That is what we are hearing in one on ones.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts just caught a pass over the middle, beat a looked like a big
probably
safety.
A linebacker.
That'd have been
safety,
trying to deal with him. Good coverage, though, of it, right? This is the Falcons screen.
Yeah, they don't do this all the time, but they are showing it on social media right now.
I mean, it's a good thing we're so entertaining. Otherwise, people would go over there
We're keeping you up to date.
No, I mean, this is good stuff, and I don't mind you watching this now. It's when you start – when you start pulling a Mark Zeno on me, I gotta bring you
what
back.
Does he just ignore you at times?
He does.
Do you think I'm doing that?
No. Okay. He buries himself. When people don't look me in the eye when we have a conversation, and it's a sports. No, meaning like a sport. There's a sports talk thing when we're in studio because there's so many screens and everything else.
It's two screens.
That folks, there's TVs, there's screen, there's phone. Right? I'm guilty of it too sometimes.
Okay.
Like, we're having a conversation. And Zeno's putting in bets. Looking at gambling lines.
Yeah, okay.
He's gambling while we're talking.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm trying to have an intimate moment with my friend Mark. I'm trying to understand, about his personal life and share things on the air. And he's looking at, the first five innings of the Marlins-Tampa game. I said, Mark, that's not going to work for us. So, yes, I'm tough on him, but I need to be. Talking about this notion of give your kids back their summer, I guess easy for me to say because my kid isn't playing at the highest level in his sports. My daughter played on a state championship volleyball team but was not a starter. She played enough that she got a couple of rings, but we spent a little bit of time in the summer. We knew that was not going to happen. in terms of a D1 scholarship. So, you know, maybe you could say, hey, dude, you're sitting there when all these other parents are thinking about scholarship in 12, 13, 14, 15, you're getting the coaching and training and everything else. It is a money play. Dude, when I know when I'm getting emails saying Bobby is being looked at by coaches and he's 14.
Yeah.
I was like, what's he being looked at for? Is he being looked at to become a, I don't know, a nutritionist and a chef for the actual D1 team?
Team Waterboy?
Because I know he's not being looked at to play soccer, you know, at a D1 level. So that's fine that you want to take my money, and we'll video him every game. We'll send out his notes to player, to programs. A lot of nonsense.
But I think the important thing that you're getting to is you're open and honest about what's going on there. You know what
always
level he's at.
No,
right. And I think that's important. When I was young and I played stake at the JCC, and I look, not a great league there for youth sports. Yes. I mean, it's a fun youth sports league, but the level of competition, not great.
Yeah.
And you know, I was rolling through it, and my dad took me out 1 year and put me in a real league. He's like, hey, here's what real players are doing. We can go back to dominating the JCC. And it was, you know, it was eye-opening.
The good news for Jewish people is we learn very young.
Yeah.
That you may want to pursue, you may want to be a orthodontist, because the chances of you playing at Arkansas are zero. Let's get Rob in Northwest Georgia. Hey, Rob, you're on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. What's happening, Rob?
Hey, guys, this is more of a warning, a telltale story to all these guys that have young boys playing baseball right now, young sons. My son didn't start playing until he was about 12 years old. We started travel ball. It kind of led into we were playing games all the way to the last, the third week of October. Fast forward, he's a junior, about to be a senior in high school. His last year he played travel ball. He played 7 games in 1 weekend, played with 2 different teams. We left Lake Point to drive to another park somewhere in Atlanta. He was changing uniforms, got out, had the uniforms was purple and white. He had on his red socks from the game before. So I looked at him. I said, at this point, you love it. You want to continue to do it, because if you don't love it, it's a job. And if you don't love it, don't do it. And he didn't love it anymore. And so when he was a senior in high school, he didn't want to touch a baseball. The sad thing was he had a scout camp with a whole bunch of coaches come watch him. There was a bunch of kids there. And that whole next year that he was going to be a senior, we got multiple letters for him to go, you know, play baseball in a lot of different places. And, man, he won't even watch a baseball game now, much less. Yeah,
it's funny.
So if you have young kids, young sons, don't do it to them. Don't do it to them.
I like the expression, Abe. Thank you for the call. I like the expression, if you don't love it that much, it's a job. I mean, right. Like, giving back your summer. Listen, I don't pretend it's like when I grew up, where every single day we put our books down, we were gone for 6 hours, and we played up the street every single sport, and the only way you knew to come home is somebody would drive by and say your mom's looking for you, and we play every sport all the time. I mean, that's not happening. But there's somewhere between going to a local pool or a buddy's house or having, here's a novel idea, a sleepover on a Friday night, and you're not somewhere in, you know, Tallahassee, Florida, playing 6 games, you know, in 100-degree heat, because your 12U team from Alpharetta is going to go 2-6 on the weekend. Is that really what you want?
You know what I think is going to be a fascinating case study that might open a number of eyes? Because I agree with everything you're saying here, Stig. You and I are on the same page on this. Baby Gronk. I think we're going to find out. Baby Gronk, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And as he gets closer to playing at higher levels, either
explain
becoming a star in high school or college, Baby Gronk is this kid.
Yes.
Who has dominated the youth local football scene. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, definitely cocky as well. He's got chains, he's got haircuts, he's doing his thing. But ultimately, none of this is going to matter if he doesn't turn into a dude. And I think he's the first kind of national, in my opinion,
everybody's paying attention to that
young level. Guy who's doing this sort of thing on a national kind of in terms
How
of –
How old is he now?
I have no idea.
Right, so
I don't, to we'll be honest, I don't follow Baby Gronk's life and times. But I do expect him to fizzle out.
Timothy.
I do expect him to fall short. And I think this whole discussion is part of it. Why? I think Bo just said 12.
Timothy in Gainesville, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys. Good morning. This is such an important issue that more families really need to discuss in detail and really come together and be stronger on. My wife and I, we took our little girl who's in first grade and our little boy who's 5 months old just this past Memorial Day weekend up to Dollywood in Tennessee, and we were actually at the Dream War, what my little girl calls the Butterfly Castle, and we were enjoying the time as a family, and we actually experienced this firsthand by the people that were going to one of these tournaments. They had
the tournament well.
Yes. So they had booked. So I understand that a lot of people can make it a fun family memory. I'm sure for a lot of these little boys that were 11 years old, they'll remember, hey, that time they went to the Dollywood Park on the way to the ball game. But the problem was, and what I experienced firsthand that really bothered me, that my wife and I have made a commitment as our children grow older to be the opposite on, is all these dads, there was probably 40 dads that are 40-something years old, they were all acting as if they were getting ready to dress out to go play for the Gwinnett Strikers tonight. And the issue was this one little boy in particular, he was 11 years old, and his little brother was in the pool. And here the family finally let the guard down and was actually as a family playing. And the dad was taking the ball and tossing it to his two sons. The younger son was 8 years old. And it's one thing to be confident. Confidence is a good thing, but it's another thing to be arrogant and have a attitude of, I'm better than you. If you don't perform, you're going to get cut. And the little boy, it was so bad. At 8 years old, he was trying to catch the ball. Well, 20 tosses went by, 30 tosses went by. The dad never even attempted to change his toss. The bigger brother started being cocky about it. He said, oh, you're no good. I'm better than you. Started dominating. I actually stood up and told the father, I said, one day that little boy is going to whoop his older brother. And I said,
appreciate the
is
phone
that
call.
Really
yeah, I mean, yeah,
what you're trying to teach him right here?
Listen, be in a hotel lobby when you have one of those tournaments. Listen to those dads. You think their kids are going off to, like, you know, play in the Final Four. I mean, like, bro, it's the fifth game. You're in the loser's bracket out of Team Decula. Like, bro, that's like, it ain't that big a game. You know what? You should want to lose so you can go swimming later today, not play in the triple loser's bracket at 5:15 to get, like, the worst, like, medal token, whatever.
Seventh, eighth place match?
Yes. Hey, when we come back, we'll do three strikes. Falcons and Titans, dude, this is fun. Abe's watching closely, which is a good thing that you're watching. And we'll continue on Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, Stakey, Abe Gordon. On it's turning out to be a sticky Tuesday morning. It's getting warm for sure. A little bit of a cloud cover. Nice for all the fans here. Titans and Falcons. We're watching this on the Falcons stream, which is awesome. So listen to us and watch the stream if you want and enjoy what is pretty fun Titan joint practice, Titans and Falcons. Who just caught that pass? Do we know
that wasn't sure who that was on the replay. It looked like number 16, but I don't know if that's right. No fights so far, no scuffles. I thought maybe when they got into the O-line versus D-line and kind of two rushers, two linemen, and maybe there'd be something. But it's been pretty clean so far, which I think is nice.
Yeah, I mean, everybody anticipating something. But listen, I just like seeing guys ones versus ones of NFL players and seeing what guys can step up. Hey, cut down day is what every pro football player dreads. But this year, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is celebrating cut down day by giving you a chance to cut down your yard in style. On August 27th at 4 o'clock when the pro football cut deadline hits, we're giving one lucky listener a Rolex Reel Mower. It's a chance to win the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules and enter, visit 92.9thegame.com. Anything else you can tell us about what's been going on out there?
Looks like a couple different reports are saying that Cam Ward is kind of all over the place. Looks like Kobe Bryant, Falcons DB, almost had an interception, and he's kind of all over the place. I will say this, the times that I've seen, and I've said this about Falcons on Falcons just in camp, Drake London against the Titans continues to look unstoppable. He absolutely mossed the dude in one-on-ones. And there's not a guy who's trying to defend Bijan Robinson that sticks with him on his first cut.
Yeah.
As a receiver,
no, you're
I'm
right.
talking
Listen,
about. As soon
two.
As he puts his foot in the ground and moves, the DB's not there anymore, or the linebacker, or safety, whoever it is. Those two guys.
Two elite just, players.
Yeah, man.
Two
it
absolutely
really, really
elite
is.
Players. All right. Three strikes. It's a really good three strikes, and I can say that because I like to coach myself up. But I would tell you. But you're going to have to think a little bit. So we're going to fill the lines with this. And you can play along right next to me here, both y'all, or whatever it might be. A defensive play in the NFL that you will always remember.
Okay.
A defensive play in the NFL that you'll always remember. The best you've ever been at a sport, how old were you, and what sport? The best you've ever been at a sport, how old were you, and what was the sport? Could be going on right now. Maybe your golf game is elite. Maybe you never played better tennis. Maybe you're a horrible athlete, and maybe you peaked at 11. I don't know. And finally, first choice for an NFL road trip. First choice for an NFL road trip. Take it for what it is. Maybe it's the entertainment of Vegas or New Orleans. Maybe it's the tailgate of Kansas City. Maybe it's the weather in, well, it's the L.A. Chargers. I'm not going to just take it for what it is. Your first choice for an NFL road trip. The best you've ever been at a sport, what sport, and how old were you? And a defensive play in the NFL that you will always remember. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Are you pointing to us doing belly up because we kind of blew through it?
No, the one I had highlighted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
John Foyn,
oh,
big game of the night.
I'm sorry, we didn't communicate.
Presented by John Foyn Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys get the strong arm. I think tonight, you know, because this is practice. It's not a game out here. This is practice. So we're going to go with Brave Mets. Spencer Strider is on the mound. He's going to continue trying to work his way into top form, facing Clay Holmes at 7-10. It's unfortunate. Braves get a chance to play spoiler, but 7-10 tonight. John Foyt, big game of the night.
I don't know what to say about Spencer Strider right now. I mean,
working his way there.
He's trying to convince himself that he's fine. Last game, he's like, they just are a great hitting team. Talking about Milwaukee.
This is a guy that not very long ago was at the top, was great. And he's working his way there. He's not there yet, and it frustrates him. Hey, look, I have no problem with that because I would be so much more bothered if he came out relaxed about his performance. I think it's great to see a guy face it head on.
Well, listen, 2 months ago he said, I'm worthless. I haven't lived up to my contract, and I'm just terrible. Now he's saying, I was fine today. Brewer's just a great hitting team. I think he's playing mental games with himself to try to say, you know, like to try to get himself in a good headspace. Tonight would be nice. Mets have lost 10 of 11, by the way. And – you know, this is what happens in a long season, man.
Some other Braves news, Chris Sale. Looks like he's going to get a rehab assignment there at Gwinnett starting tonight. So I don't know if he's actually pitching or not. But
yeah, does that mean he's pitching tonight?
I don't know based on the wordage. Yeah. I'd have to see if they're using him and how they're using him. If it's going to be as an opener, if it's going to be as a full outing. But I think a lot of people kept questioning whether or not Schwelly and these guys should look. He's going to work his way back. There's no doubt about that.
What do you do for a living? What's your occupation? If you're filling something out, what do you write down? What's your job?
I just put radio.
Uh-huh. That's pretty intricate. I'd say media personality, radio producer, audio manager. I don't know. You know what Chris Sale's job is?
Pitcher?
Major league pitcher, professional athlete.
Minor league pitcher.
So why would you say he shouldn't pitch this year? That whole thing about him and Acuna, that's what they do for a living. That's their job. That's what they enjoy doing. That's what you're paying them for. So am I going to worry about Ronald Acuna when he's 100% cleared to say, ooh, what happens in September? I don't know. I think that's what he's paid for. We got full lines. I told you, like, I'm making people think today. You know what I'm saying? Like, today has been great. Me and you, we're on the same page. We had good topics. I don't know, you know, and considering that I was whining about the Dunkin' Donuts mishap early, if you didn't hear, I started a little bit down. I think Gordon gave me the energy I needed to feel better about myself. You, a little bit, but you get a little, you know, You kind of disregarded a few things I said. But listen, you're paid for your opinion. Yeah, I tell people all the time, we're paid for your opinion. Me, I'm paid to eat cheeseburgers. You're paid for your opinion.
Well, look, I just...
You're paid to be a producer.
You know I respect you, Steak, but I'm also not going to sit here and agree with you if I know that that's not what's going on in my mind.
I would prefer you... Is that term kowtow? What is that even?
I don't know the etymology of that, but it is a term.
Yeah. You're not going to do that, right?
You don't want me bending at the knee for you. Come on.
Absolutely not. Let's play three strikes. You know what this hour is brought to you by, Abe?
Wise Guys Pro Wash?
Yeah, what are they?
Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company, that's all.
Very true. Very true. Val in Riverdale. Good morning, Val.
Good morning.
What's a defensive play in the NFL you will always remember?
LT, Lawrence Taylor.
Okay, it has to be a play. That's the game. What's the play? I'll say it for you, when he broke Joe Theismann's leg. The best you've ever been at a sport. How old were you and what sport?
12, cricket.
Cricket, okay. Look at you. Sounds like you and Abe have something in common. He likes to talk about track and field. Hey, give me your first.
Watch more than a fair share of cricket.
First choice for an NFL road trip.
New York City Giants.
All right, you're going to the Meadowlands, I guess. Thank you. Norris in Gainesville. A defensive play from the NFL that you will always remember.
Well, it's a little off the beaten path, I guess. But when Julio hopped down the defender that intercepted the ball, I'll never forget that.
Interesting. Okay. The best you've ever been at a sport. How old were you? What was the sport?
13, baseball. That year I hit 3 home runs in 3 separate games.
You hit 3 home runs 3 different times in it. Damn, bro.
Yes, sir.
You must have had a cute 13-year-old girlfriend at that time. Hey, first choice for an NFL road trip.
Green Bay.
Jay Phillip in Jackson. Hey, what's a defensive play in the NFL you'll always remember?
The moment Keanu O'Neal hit the wide receiver the last game of Georgia Dome. The sound heard around Atlanta.
How about the who made the hit on Cam Newton, knocked him out for quite a bit, Carolina game?
Deion Jones. That was going too.
Thank you, Deion Jones. I was looking for you for help, but thankfully we had the listener. I thought you know everything.
I don't know everything.
The best you've ever been at a sport. How old were you? What was the sport?
A lifetime, basketball. I'm a walking bucket. I still believe that today.
So are you better now than you've ever been?
Yeah, the jump shot, much more pure.
How old are you?
32.
What's your first choice for an NFL road trip?
I would like to see the Falcons go beat up the Steelers. So I guess it would be Pittsburgh. They always come here and beat us.
We'll give you that. Robin gets the let's get Melissa. Let's get Melissa. Melissa, what's a defensive play you'll always remember in the NFL?
I'm not sure if it's already been said, but it would be Lawrence Taylor's hit on Joe Theismann. I'll never forget it.
Just because you have a great voice and you're much cleaner than these other guys, just in terms of your delivery, I'm going to give you – you're the only one that said that in my eyes. The best you've ever been in a sport. What was the sport and how old were you?
All right, so it was basketball, and it was probably my freshman, sophomore year in high school. That's the best I've ever been.
All right. What's first choice for an NFL road trip?
London.
Okay.
London's a great city. It's a great town.
I agree. You better have some cash in your pocket. Very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
City.
Without a doubt. London's more expensive than New York, so sure.
Robin in East Atlanta, final word. Give me a defensive play you'll always remember. Robin, you got you?
I think the phone died.
You know what happens? You go one step farther than you need to.
Little Icarus action right there.
Damn. I thought you'd, give me some input there and say, enough is enough. My mom would say, ça suffit. That's a Turkish term for enough.
Well, I was told you wanted me to kowtow and bend at the knee, so
no, I don't want.
I let you go.
No way. Tomorrow, I know you won't. That's why they're going to listen. If they knew that was going to happen, we'd lose our audience. We're back here tomorrow. You're going to give me a full report on Titans Falcons.
Yeah, I'm going right across the building. I got to go walk the long way, but I can't wait to get out there and see what's going on. By all accounts, the last couple of minutes have been all Falcons.
Thanks, Gordo. Thanks, Bo. I think it's a guy named Randy and Andy next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.